Thank you for downloading this audio title, published by ThoughtAudio.com.
Thus Spoke Zarathustra. Written by Friedrich Nietzsche. Translated by Thomas Kamen. Narrated by Michael Scott. Produced by ThoughtAudio.com. Part 1. Zarathustra's Discourses and Zarathustra's Prologue. Segment 1. When Zarathustra was 30 years old, he left his home and the lake of his home and went into the mountains. There, he enjoyed his spirit and solitude, and for 10 years did not weary of it. But at last his heart changed, and rising one morning with the rosy dawn, he went before the sun and spoke thus to it. "You great star, what would be your happiness if you had not those for whom you shine? For 10 years have you climbed here to my cave. You would have wearied of your light and of the journey had it not been for me, mine eagle, and my serpent. But we awaited you every morning, took from you your overflow, and blessed you for it. Lo, I am weary of my wisdom. Like the bee that has gathered too much honey, I need hands outstretched to take it. I would fain bestow and distribute, until the wise have once more become joyous in their folly, and the poor happy in their riches. Therefore must I descend into the deep, as you do in the evening when you go behind the sea, and give light also to the netherworld, you exuberant star. Like you, I must go down, as men say, to whom I shall descend. Bless me then, you tranquil eye, that can behold even the greatest happiness without envy. Bless the cup that is about to overflow, that the water may flow golden out of it and carry everywhere the reflection of your bliss. Lo, this cup again is going to empty itself, and Zarathustra is again going to be a man." Thus began Zarathustra's downgoing. Segment 2. Zarathustra went down the mountain alone, no one meeting him. When he entered the forest, however, there suddenly stood before him an old man who had left his holy cot to seek roots. And thus spoke the old man to Zarathustra, "No stranger to me is this wanderer. Many years ago passed he by. Zarathustra he was called, but he is altered. Then you carried your ashes into the mountain. Will you now carry your fire into the valleys? Fear you not the incendiary's doom? Yea, I recognize Zarathustra. Pure is his eye, and no loathing lurk about his mouth. Goes he not along like a dancer? Altered is Zarathustra. A child has Zarathustra become. An awakened one is Zarathustra. What will you do in the land of the sleepers? As in the sea have you lived in solitude, and it has borne you up. Alas, will you now go ashore? Alas, will you again drag your body yourself?" Zarathustra answered, "I love mankind. Why," said the saint, "did I go into the forest and the desert? Was it not because I love men far too well? Now I love God. Men I do not love. Man is a thing too imperfect for me. Love to man would be fatal to me." Zarathustra answered, "What spoke I of love? I am bringing gifts to men." "Give them nothing," said the saint. "Take rather part of their load and carry it along with them. That will be most agreeable to them, if only it be agreeable to you. If, however, you will give to them, give them no more than an alms, and let them also beg for it." "No," replied Zarathustra, "I give no alms. I am not poor enough for that." The saint laughed at Zarathustra and spoke thus, "Then see to it that they accept your treasures. They are distrustful of anchorites and do not believe that we come with gifts. The fall of our footsteps rings too hollow through their streets. And just as at night, when they are in bed and hear a man abroad long before sunrise, so they ask themselves concerning us, 'Where goes the thief?' Go not to men, but stay in the forest. Go rather to the animals. Why not be like me, a bear among bears, a bird among birds? And what does the saint in the forest ask Zarathustra? The saint answered, I make hymns and sing them. And in making hymns, I laugh and weep and mumble. Thus do I praise God. With singing, weeping, laughing, and mumbling do I praise the God who is my God. But what do you bring us as a gift? When Zarathustra had heard these words, he bowed to the saint and said, What should I have to give you? Let me rather hurry hence, lest I take aught away from you. And thus they parted from one another, the old man and Zarathustra, laughing like schoolboys. When Zarathustra was alone, however, he said to his heart, Could it be possible this old saint in the forest has not yet heard of it, that God is dead? Segment 3. When Zarathustra arrived at the nearest town, which adjoins the forest, he found many people assembled in the marketplace, for it had been announced that a rope dancer would give a performance. And Zarathustra spoke thus to the people, I teach you the Superman. Man is something that is to be surpassed. What have you done to surpass man? All beings hitherto have created something beyond themselves, and you want to be the ebb of that great tide and would rather go back to the beast than surpass man. What is ape to man? A laughingstock, a thing of shame. And just the same shall man be to the Superman, a laughingstock, a thing of shame. You have made your way from the worm to man, and much within you is still worm. Once were you apes, and even yet man is more of an ape than any of the apes. Even the wisest among you is only a disharmony and hybrid of plant and phantom. But do I bid you become phantoms or plants? Lo, I teach you the Superman. The Superman is the meaning of the earth. Let your will say, The Superman shall be the meaning of the earth. I conjure you, my brethren, remain true to the earth, and believe not those who speak to you of super-earthly hopes. Poisoners are they, whether they know it or not. Despisers of life are they, decaying ones and poisoned ones themselves, of whom the earth is weary, so away with them. Once blasphemy against God was the greatest blasphemy, but God died. And therewith also those blasphemers. To blaspheme the earth is now the most dreadful sin, and to rate the heart of the unknowable higher than the meaning of the earth. Once the soul looked contemptuously on the body, and then that contempt was a supreme thing. The soul wished the body meager, ghastly, and famished. Thus it thought to escape from the body and the earth. Oh, that soul was itself meager, ghastly, and famished. And cruelty was the delight of that soul. But you also, my brethren, tell me, what does your body say about your soul? Is your soul not poverty and pollution and wretched self-complacency? Verily, a polluted stream is man. One must be a sea to receive a polluted stream without becoming impure. Lo, I teach you the Superman. He is that sea. In him, can your great contempt be submerged? What is the greatest thing you can experience? Is it the hour of great contempt, the hour in which even your happiness becomes loathsome to you, and so also your reason and virtue? The hour when you say, What good is my happiness? It is poverty and pollution and wretched self-complacency. But my happiness should justify existence itself. The hour when you say, What good is my reason? Does it long for knowledge as the lion for his food? Is it poverty and pollution and wretched self-complacency? The hour when you say, What good is my virtue? As yet, it has not made me passionate. How weary I am of my good and my bad. It is all poverty and pollution and wretched self-complacency. The hour when you say, What good is my justice? I do not see that I am fervor and fuel. The just, however, are fervor and fuel. The hour when you say, What good is my pity? Is not pity the cross on which he is nailed who loves man? But my pity is not a crucifixion. Have you ever spoken thus? Have you ever cried thus? Ah, would that I had heard you crying thus. It is not your sin. It is your self-satisfaction that cries to heaven. Your very sparingness in sin cries to heaven. Where is the lightning to lick you with its tongue? Where is the frenzy with which you should be inoculated? Lo, I teach you the Superman. He is that lightning. He is that frenzy. When Zarathustra had thus spoken, one of the people called out, "We have now heard enough of the rope dancer. It is time now for us to see him." And all the people laughed at Zarathustra. But the rope dancer, who thought the words applied to him, began his performance.